The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have a couple of guests in the studio today. We have Carrie Gantz. She is from the Thumb Community Health Partnership. Gantz is the program coordinator. Did I get it close?
Yeah, Grands, but yeah.
Grands. There's no T on the end. Okay. And we also have Erica Jones from Huron Behavioral Health. And we're going to be covering, well, basically holidays, mental health, and what you can do to get through it. Thanks for being with us, ladies.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I guess, first of all, is this a prime time for people who have difficulties with mental issues and such to get through?
Most definitely. For a lot of people, the holiday time is something we look forward to all year long. The food, the lights, the gathering. But for some, when all of those good things are exactly opposite in their world, it means too much togetherness, the pressure of gift buying, the gatherings, the overindulgences, the financial stressors, just losing somebody. It brings everything, all the joy out of it, and just brings a big stressor to them. You will see a lot of rise in mental health stresses and even substance use disorder issues come about in this time.
Is part of the problem there's so much effort that goes into the big day and then, bam, it's over, and it's kind of a letdown after that?
That is exactly it. There is the pressure of arranging who's going to host, who's going to be preparing the meals. Do I need to buy 40 Christmas cards for the entire public? And it's just the expectation. You know, the holidays, it's so ingrained in our culture that we have to have all this music and the gifts and just kind of preparedness. We put a lot more pressure on ourselves than we really need to.
I think we all seen it growing up. You know, the years that your family hosted, you watched your mom on Christmas, and while everybody was having fun, she was running around back and forth trying to make sure everything got ready at the same time so the turkey wasn't ready before the everything else and getting dry. It just seemed like it would be a nightmare to me, but she handled it. I don't know how. So what can people do to help with the stress on the holidays? I mean, it seems like, you know, do you basically try not to put such a load on yourself? Is it more into the planning aspects to where you feel you've got everything covered, or is it a little different for everybody?
It can be different for everybody. Some people are really great at prioritizing and figuring out what really matters. You know, do I need to attend this many parties? Do I need to participate in every Secret Santa? Do I need to get gifts for everybody? It does sound a little selfish, but instead of having quantity, maybe you focus on quality and you really try to plan experiences that will have the most positive impact on your family. Right before the holiday, it is a couple days before the holiday, probably not the best time to discuss all new rules, but after this holiday passes, maybe we lead into next year. You know, we do this year after year, we say we enjoy it, but then secretly we're all resenting it. Maybe next year we're going to do something different.
That's common not only for families, like businesses. At the end of the year, you try to take a look at what you did and how you can do it better next year, but sometimes it just doesn't get done with the rush and the things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a particular person in the family that seems more prone to having stress problems? Is it like the mom who's delegated to do all the work there? Is it the people who have to deal with the relatives who are coming that they get along with up until about 4 o'clock?
I would say it kind of falls equally, but there's a hidden issue. A lot of when we think of holidays and whoever's going to decide to host, we do think of that female figure in the family doing all the planning, cooking, shopping, wrapping. What are the kids going to wear? Are we going to make it to church? Are we going to get the picture with Santa? But overwhelmingly overlooked is the stress on men during this time.
Oh.
many people ignore it, don't realize it. And unfortunately, due to the cultural value placed on men as your providers, as the strong, silent type, men a little bit do it to themselves too.
Do they have a tendency to kind of ignore it till the last minute? I know my brother-in-law is one of those last-minute shoppers, and Christmas Eve will go out and get everything and be done with it. I don't think I could handle it that way, but do people tend to put things off, and then it's an even bigger burden? I'm sorry. You seem like you're doing all the talking, and you're looking at Carrie over there, but she says go.
No, it just... The biggest stress with men, and all the research that I've done on this topic, is, again, the social construct of masculinity. We are the providers. We are strong. We are quiet. We support the family. We're just done what we told. So for many men, it looks at as a sign of weakness if we're having more than one bad day. And it's kind of that slippery slope into depression. We don't want to deal with our feelings. To show our emotions is absolutely forbidden. We're going to isolate ourselves. Yes, we're not going to plan. I'm worried about, you know, in these really kind of unstable economic times and people losing their jobs, you know, is the money coming in? Am I going to meet expectations? Am I going to take care of my family? But instead of being very vocal, which women tend to establish a lot more social connections, men do not. And they definitely don't have the willingness to express their feelings like women do. So the rate of depression in men is actually a lot higher than what we'd think, especially when it comes to risk of suicide.
So it's a bit like a pressure cooker. You keep it all inside and it just keeps building and building and building till something pops.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. What can men do about this? I mean, if they're not going to talk about it, and they're not going to, you know, use that as a way to deal with it, how can they do that?
Probably be in an environment that's supportive. If they're more comfortable maybe talking to other men first in their own way and verbalize their statements with their own, you know, language. Understanding depression as chemical changes in your brain, and it affects you just like a physical health problem like diabetes or cancer. It's not a moral failing to be suffering from depression. It is okay that you feel the pressures. Open up to, if you don't want to open up to anybody else, maybe start with your partner, you know, whoever is in your life, and you can sit down together and talk about a treatment plan.
It is part of the problem that men think, well, I'll do a little better probably tomorrow, and they end up going through those ups and downs that are still depression. You have a high, you have a low, but you're still not riding the rails straight.
For men, but I would say everybody actually suffering from depression.
That's common?
That's pretty common. Not knowing when to do a screening, not thinking that this feeling would pass.
People tend to ignore things that they don't want to deal with.
Yes.
That's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Another stress for men is don't buy Christmas presents that are too hard to put together in the morning. You can grind your teeth on that one because the kids are standing here. Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? No.
No.
So either do it the night before or don't buy the gifts that are that hard to put together.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
How do people deal with this? I mean, it's a holiday. People aren't at work in the caregiver area. Are there places they can go or seek help? Phone, online, anywhere? Because usually it would seem like if you're hitting bottom, you want to talk to someone now, not wait until maybe you feel a little better tomorrow and it's still not resolved.
There are definitely helplines, text lines, whatever you feel necessary. Here on Behavioral Health has a 24-hour crisis line.
That's the 1-800-356-5568.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There is also one specifically for risk of suicide that's available 24 hours a day.
That's 1-800-273-8255.
And for the tech-savvy people, and should somebody not feel comfortable maybe speaking on the phone quite yet, there is a crisis text line as well.
it's a little less personal, a little less more anonymous, but still connecting with somebody who can put you on a path either to find someone to help you or help you that instant.
Correct.
741-741, the text number?
Yes.
And what do you put in the box? Home or something?
Home. Yep, text home to 741-741.
And they will text back and ask you what you need and...
Yep. And they will be, they have 24-hour people who have a specialty in this area that can understand your cues and what you're willing to offer and start those initial steps of getting you help.
There's also 211.
Yes.
A lot of people forget about that. We are part of that in Huron County in the Upper Thumb. You can call 211. It's like 911, except you're not getting police help. You're going to get help for a lot of other things, and they will direct you to an agency that can meet the needs you're having right now.
Mm-hmm. That is right.
There was also another one for a substance abuse crisis line you told me about, 1-800-448-5498.
Yes, because with all the pressures of the holidays, one of the things is overindulgence. I work in this office environment, and every day this week, somebody has graciously bought us all those holiday treats from the salty, the sweet. We had a hot cocoa bar. And I'm looking at my FitnessPal app and going, maybe I'll take extra steps. But, you know, a lot of the holidays, they do bring little treats, the eggnog with a little something extra. You know, maybe your favorite uncle has brought you one of your favorite libations. We just really need to watch the overindulgences into those substances. And unfortunately, not only for men, a lot of people tend to use alcohol and other drugs as a coping mechanism for these stressors. And that's not the way we want them to go.
And it can also exacerbate less than ideal family relations between people because your tongue gets a little loose and your threshold of putting up with stuff kind of drops and things can get spicy in a hurry.
Yeah,
and
all
those...
talking
about the dinner.
Right, and all those past habits, hurts, and hang-ups.
And past things that have happened that keep getting dragged up all the time.
Yeah.
Boy, it sounds like we've all had them, yeah.
And I just want to mention, too, that as well as Huron Behavioral Health and their services that they offer, if obviously you have listeners coming from other areas, obviously that crisis line is available for anybody, regardless of where you are. But there are crisis lines available in Tuscola and Sanilac and Lapeer County as well, because that's what we cover for the Thumb Community Health Partnership. And then also if... there is a male in particular that is interested or maybe doesn't want to seek help or talk to someone directly. You know, we've talked about Man Therapy, mantherapy.org, and that's a kind of an online resource for men to go to, especially during the holiday season. You know, they can just access that on their phone. It's available 24/7. They can kind of learn some self-help tips and strategies to help improve their mental health, especially during these difficult times for them, if this isn't a time of joy for them. As well as there are other services and resources available on there as well in the Get Help section. So,
and it's a perfect opportunity to use that new phone or tablet.
Yes.
To good use.
Yeah.
Good. How can people avoid some of this stuff? I mean, you know, you can't, if you're prone to depression or if you have it and it's going to be a factor, you have to deal with it. But how do you get some of the stresses out of your life? Do you just have to put your foot down and say, you know, we're not doing this again, type of thing?
In all honesty, the holidays are predictable. They happen at the same time of the year, every single year. One thing is you could look at your gift giving. I know many large families that have decided instead of focusing on the one big get-together, they have weekends or Saturdays that they get together ahead of time. So they get to kind of spread the joy as opposed to just putting it all on one day and a whole house full of people and a lot of expectations. And in the same family, a lot of people will just draw somebody's name. So instead of having to figure out what to get for their five cousins, we've drawn a name and we focus it on the kids. Think about what parties you really want to commit to. Be honest. Thank you for your thoughtfulness. Thank you for inviting me. I won't be able to make it. know, and if you're close enough to that person, you may want to give them an explanation or just, you know, thank you and send a little something later in the year. Say, hey, I was thinking about you. Sorry, I missed. You know, here's a little something for your thoughtfulness. You decide what your priorities are. And sometimes deciding on shortcuts. I love Pinterest, but I have so many Pinterest fails with cookies and decorations. There's shortcuts in cooking. There's shortcuts in putting things together. If you still want to do the activity you're going to do, figure out how I can do this, but maybe we use a pre-baked mix instead of, you know, going down the baking aisle and having a whole cart full of everything that you're going to use just once. Another something, and we just gave this as a project to a group that I work with, focusing on kindness. One of the stress tips is to give because of how it makes you feel inside, the look that you see on somebody's other face, when they are the recipient of our act of kindness. And if you're feeling stress, I can guarantee that the next person that you run into down the aisle getting that last minute thing when they've already been to the grocery store four times, they are probably just as stressed out as you are. And, you know, responding with a kind hello or being a little gracious if somebody cuts you off or does something that's not so kind to you might be able to have a pay it forward effect.
Are kids a stressor at this time of year? I mean, I remember when we were kids, you know, we'd get up, we'd open our gifts, and then it would be, okay, get dressed, we're going over to your aunt's house, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, I wanted to stay and play with this stuff. And I don't want to go over there and watch them play with their gifts, you know, mm-hmm. that type of thing. Do kids sometimes add to the stress in a holiday in ways you might not immediately think of?
I would think so. Because I'm sure the parents are thinking about, or their caregivers are thinking about the fight that they're going to have the next day and getting, you know, whatever your beliefs are, faith beliefs, getting them ready for church. You know, if it's something that you've run across, always planning ahead. Maybe just establish a new tradition. Instead of waiting till Christmas morning to open up every single gift all at once, maybe you kind of do it on a time. Like what I've seen one family utilize an hour system. They gave their children one gift an hour, you know, or let them open stuff on Christmas Eve, or maybe even the day after Christmas, you know, to get them to time utilize. If you are trying to teach your children a value of giving to others, it's a great time for that conversation. I know we're here, but, you know, and put in whatever positive words about the experience and set the stage for them. You know, or you can take something over there to enjoy while you're watching other people enjoy what they're going through.
So I didn't have to be angry all those years when I was going to my aunt's house. All my toys are here.
Yeah.
Could have been a way. But then again, it gets to that hard point, you know, Santa's bringing them so they won't be there till the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that?
Yeah. That is going to be very personal and handled with every family. I know a lot of families have transitioned to, you know, parents are starting to take credit for what they did. And Santa's bringing the smaller stuff now instead of the reverse where Santa's bringing the, you know, PlayStation and the parents have gotten just the socks and underwear and other little things.
Yeah, when it got to where we were figuring it out, mm-hmm. then my folks all of a sudden were saying, well, we get the gifts for you so Santa can help other kids who won't get any. Those type of things. You know, there was always an explanation that could be made that a kid will buy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. Do people not reach out on the holidays? Is there just something about it that they just seem to think, you know, I'm going to call somebody on Christmas? That type of thing.
That might be it. Mental health and substance use disorder still face a lot of stigma. We have a hard time understanding the brain is an organ, and the brain can break down just like any other organ in your body. And there are good stressors and bad stressors. We know what will pass, reading ahead of time, healthy coping mechanisms. I mean, we live in an age of instant information.
Yeah. But not all of it's reliable.
Not all of it's reliable. Probably four or five clicks down if you do a search. You know, watch out for the ads.
You wind up in Crazy Town.
You might. But a lot of it just is the stigma of seeking out help. Nobody has problems announcing to somebody, I have cancer, I need these treatments, and everybody's... But for the same person to stand up and say, I suffer from anxiety disorder and depressive disorder, we automatically think of all the negatives that come with mental illness, the unpredictability, what do I do, what do I say? But utilizing these outlets, whether it's an internet search, there are apps, there are programs on your computer that you can use if you're just not quite ready to make that call and talk to somebody. People don't want to be a burden to people. I don't, you know, why am I going to call somebody and talk about my problems? And if that's the case, then do rely on the professionals. They go to school, they do all this stuff, they study your brain all day. They're going to help you figure out what's going on then there and the best way to function with what you have going on in your head.
And the thing about a physical illness is you have something tangible. Mm-hmm. Like I have a tumor, I have, yeah, you know, melanoma. I have appendicitis or whatever it is, you can point it out. Where mental health issues, they're basically hidden from view, mm-hmm, except for what you do with them.
Right. Yep. It's the behaviors that we will see, not the feelings inside, not the thoughts that drive the feelings and the behaviors. You know, and when it comes to men and stressors, this man therapy program, I think it's a great programming to open up that door of helping men see that other men are going through the same thing. I love their campaign and the comparisons that we think about, you know, that are more masculine in nature, your cars, you know, and other things. You have to utilize the tools. You have to take that one step. And for people around you, you have to be brave enough to say, this is what I'm handling. And, you know, as we talk about it, as we get this thing normalized, hopefully it'll be less and less of an issue where people won't seek out the help that they need.
When we talked earlier on this, Gary, you mentioned that the partnership had a deal with the people who do the man therapy. Is that still in effect for people in the area if they want to participate and it's available?
Yes. Yep. So we have our license until February, but we do plan on renewing it at this point in time, just because obviously we're seeing an impact of people going to the site, utilizing, you know, that head inspection that's available on there for men to kind of assess their own mental health. It's free. It's anonymous. And just really help them get these self-help strategies without really having to leave their home if they aren't to that point of crisis. Obviously, like I had mentioned, you know, the crisis line is available on there at any point in time. It's that red phone. You can click it. It'll automatically call the suicide hotline number, and you will automatically get connected with someone. Again, even in the thumb here, we have 15 resources, which would be services that are available across the four counties. You know, has their website, has their phone number, has some information about, you know, what they could do for you if you are to that point of crisis.
It's there, utilize it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And have you had, do they give you statistics? Are people using it?
Yeah. So here in our four-county region, we actually just hit over 1,000 sessions. So those are just sessions. For new users, we're well over 1,000 now. So that's new people coming, whether that be a man or a woman, you know, checking it out for their man, you know, utilizing some of those resource cards. And then also just that head inspection completion. I think we are just under 400 head inspections started and then 300 completed. Obviously, you know, not everybody can get through the 20 questions at times. But also, you know, being able to then take that information and say, you know what, that's 400 people in our community that have evaluated their mental health, have taken an opportunity to assess where they are mentally, really, and that's what the point of the whole website is really about, is just, you know, identifying and bringing awareness to mental health, specifically among men, but again, it can be used for women as well.
And with the confidentiality, there is a greater tendency that the person will say exactly what they think, mm-hmm, and feel rather than what they think looks good,
yeah,
for them.
Yes.
Because you don't get the help you need if you're not being honest about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, there's kind of a big elephant in the room, COVID. Is this really, we went through it last year and we survived it. It looks like it's going to be again this year a big factor. Some people may not show up. Some people, you know, are going to want you to wear masks, and that can be a big sticking point. Do you need to be clear ahead of time how things are going to be done so that you don't have these confrontations at the door?
That would be best. You know, trying to role play that conversation when you know it's going to push buttons, you know it's going to cause a controversial feeling, putting things in I feel language. That way the other person is less on the defensive. You know, how can we make this work? It's a hot button topic, but we are still going through it, and people's individual wishes need to be respected on how they want to conduct their holidays, their gatherings, their masks, no masks.
Has the bird been vaccinated? All that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, and maybe as an agreement, you know, whatever you decide, then once it hits that holiday, we agree not to address the topic anymore. You know, it's...
And we agree to do what we promised to
yes,
do.
Yes, exactly.
Come in and change your mind, and all of a sudden, it's a risk factor one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, so that is something you can try to plan for. It's not guaranteed success. I don't know that anything on Christmas morning and Christmas dinners are a guaranteed success. We've seen what comes out of the oven at times, but you do the best you can.
You sure do.
Okay, and so one of the other topics that we kind of touched on before the show was your first holiday minus a family member. Not necessarily has to be from COVID. People have cancer and they pass, and it's your first holiday without. Do you talk about them? Do you say, oh, she would have loved this or he would have loved this? Do you know, some people think you kind of should ignore it because it'll bring up bad feelings. Other people think you need to say it, so it's not just hanging there. Is that kind of a personal thing, or do you have to read the room?
It is a very personal thing, and you do need to read the room and always expect for somebody to change their mind at the very last minute. You know, they're people who just go through something, you know, and especially when there's little kids involved, and they say, well, we want to have one more dinner at grandma's. And, you know, when you're looking at a child and with their little eyes, and, you know, you want to do what you can, but then somebody pulls the plug at the last minute. Just be ready to be flexible, because everybody grieves differently during this time. Some people do want the memories. So if your sector, if your family wants to do something in honor, then do it. If people want to not celebrate and maybe just kind of spend some quiet time alone, allow them to. But I would definitely say to check on them, just so we're understanding that the grief is not complicated and won't lead to an adverse reaction or action by them. You know, now I'm just checking on you. I know you said you wanted this. You're important to me. You know, whatever family memories you can tie to them, you know, I just want you to know that you're loved, you're cared for, but I'm going to respect your space.
So you basically have to kind of keep it low key in case that's what they want. And but there are ways you can do that. They have those little, like, look like picture frames with electronic pictures in it. You can have that in the corner with pictures of years past, you know, with the family members you've lost and stuff. And if they don't want to view it, they go away to another room. It's not like it's set in front of them at the dinner plate and here you look at it, that type of thing. It's something, if they don't want it, if they want to look at it, oh, I remember that. And it can be a good memory instead of harsh one. Well, very good. Again, we should give out the numbers just to one more time. I'm sure people wrote them down, right? So the Huron Behavioral Health call-in number is 800-356-5568. That's available 24/7?
Yes, that is.
Holidays included.
Exactly.
Okay, the suicide hotline, hopefully nobody to that point, but you have to be prepared. 1-800-273-8255. The substance abuse crisis line is 1-800-448-5498. And if you didn't remember any of them, remember 211. They will get you to somebody who can help you with whatever problem you're facing anytime you call that.
We are a small community, but we're a tight-knit community, and we have a lot of resources between Huron Behavioral Health and Thumb Health Community Partnership.
Things somebody don't even realize we have. I mean, it's sometimes you feel like, I'm sure for you folks, you feel like it's the best-kept secret.
You know, we're doing programming. Each of our entities has Facebook. If you're social media savvy, that's actually one of my responsibilities, is to do weekly postings on the matters of suicide prevention, mental health, and substance use disorder, Thumb Health Community Partnership. We often share a lot of what your resources are on there as well. So if Facebook is your jam, then go to Facebook and find us.
And if the person won't call, but you're a family member and you think they need help, can you call these numbers anyway, and there will be somebody there who can advise you on what you should do at that point? So things like suicide and mental health problems, you know, maybe they should not be going home unchecked.
Yep, absolutely. They can definitely guide you on next steps and what you can do. And in January, and those dates will be listed on our website, we actually have training in what's called mental health first aid. You've all heard of CPR and first aid, you know, for those physical health emergencies. Well, there are people in crisis who have mental health disorders, and we facilitate classes on how to help somebody in that moment if they are going through a mental health crisis. Those are available through Huron Behavioral Health for $35, and we have a session on the 20th and 27th, and you'll be able to register through Huron Behavioral Health or by calling our number 989-269-9293.
And it doesn't have to be a full meltdown. Somebody who's having trouble, just try and get some help. You can avoid having that full meltdown.
Yes.
Well, thanks for being with us, ladies.
Yes.
I hope we covered everything that you wanted us to touch on. And I hope you both have a great holiday season. Non-stressful.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Our guests today on the program have been Erica Jones from Huron Behavioral Health and Carrie Granz. Get it right?
Yep.
She's with the Thumb Community Health Partnership. Again, 211 is a quick number to remember. If you need help on any topics we've discussed, there are specialty lines as well available, and they can guide you to them. So have a great holiday season, and if people are stressed out and having problems, there is a lot of help available in the Thumb area. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.